Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. Am I making sense here? It's an unpopular opinion, but it's true. What is the meaning of Ayao? Sometimes I just feel like it's a vibe. There's one we can say break. I will break the jugular. Chocolate. Cut the chocolate. And I was like, what are we hitting the jugular for? Because me, when I hear songs, scriptures just flow in my heart to vet. You know, Hebrews 2:14 says, let's read together. Some of you that have been breaking the jugular. Alright, inasmuch then as what? Children had what? Therefore, since these his children share in what? The physical nature of what? He himself in a what? Also, but without, so that through what? He might what? And what? And what? Him who what? Alright, so if he's dead, why are you breaking his jugular again? Why are you trying to kill somebody that is dead? Alright, so you see, it's just vibe. But it doesn't make spiritual sense. That is why you see Christians struggling, because they are trying to break the jugular that has rotting, it's decayed. It's not in existence, I mean. So, you see, when you talk or speak to a young minister, anytime he sees me in the bank where he works, he will rush to me to ask me questions. And today I was telling him, I said, you are being a wise young man. Only 3 minutes every time and you still be coming. And I said to him today, at the tail of our discussion, I always give him the time. I said, the problem with the young ministers today is that they don't have the impetus to stay alone with what is right. No impetus. They don't have the impetus to stay with what is right. They want to stay with what is popular. Not just them, even Christians. Christians like what is popular, not what is right. Hallelujah to Jesus. You have to learn to stay with what is what? Right. Not what is what? Popular. Because it can be popular. It is possible that it is popular and it is wrong. Right? Huh? There's a popular belief that say men are whatsoever in nature, they are the way they polygamous in nature. It's a popular belief, but it's wrong. It's not popular. Is it true? What's another popular belief that is wrong? Huh? I didn't hear you. But did not be firewood. Thank you. We started hearing that from childhood. I'm sure many of you heard that. And it is an excuse to just live anyhow. But did not be firewood. Now blood, they flow through your body. No. Is it supposed to be Zobo before? Now is that an excuse to misbehave? Alright. There are many popular beliefs like that. You have many of them, isn't it? Well, it doesn't mean that they are right. So you see, when we do these separations, you know, in chemistry, there's what we call separation techniques. Because we need the real substance away from the false ones. If we are doing it while teaching the word of God, it doesn't mean we are bad people. Because there's a way these religious people behave. It's still the spirit of religion. Now, when you correct, actually, there are people who unnecessarily correct. See, they start correcting what is even right. Now, and it's because you have the mindset to always attack people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But you can't tell me that you cannot truly correct something. You can truly correct something. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. And that's why when I said that thing, I said, I know a lot of people may not be excited about what you're online, because it is not a popular, how do I put it now? It's not a popular belief. You know, you say break the jugular, And you see, that is a popular song, for instance, Break the Juggler and Adulam. Because Adulam seems like a serious word than secret place. Do you understand? That going to pray in your room. And so, it's a, oh, Adulam. Oh. Who can sing it? Courage, who knows that song? Courage, can you sing the song, Gloria? Courage, you know the song now. Alright, go ahead. You don't know the song? Huh? You are denying the song. Okay, who knows the song? Yeah, I think you sang that for one of those Tuesdays when I came to church. How did you feel the day she was singing it and I climbed the stage, I said, don't sing it again. How did you feel? You felt bad? You cried? Okay. You know, she was so serious. I heard it from here. And I asked Pastor Ed, who is doing that? He said, and I entered and we saw the person. And I said to him, remind me during the service or after the service. We'll have to correct that. That's unnecessary. Amen? I see sometimes Christians struggling to sing a serious song that is not impacting their spirit. So all they wasted was strength, energy. Well, if you sing powerful song, the real powerful song are not stressful. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. You see, it's not serious. Death has lost its victory and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. You don't even know it. He's the Alpha, the first. The. Alright. Oh, Adulam. Alright, you see what we're saying? But which song has meaning? Which one has meaning? The first one I sang by Ron Kenoly. Blessings and honor. You see, they are powerful but very sick. Be unto the ancient. Alright. Okay. Alright. That's right. Shall the king and worship and your kingdom shall not pass away, O oceans of days. Hallelujah. And you know, it's just scripture you read like this. You read like this as a song. You sang like this as a song. Then there's another one he did. Righteousness, peace, joy in the holy. You know that one? There's some of you, when you hear it, you say it's your grandfather's song. But it's a powerful. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Is it nice? There's another one. You know, these songs, they will just come. Then new song will just come and cover them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Hey man, you know that song, that's the only time. Because I've stopped being a wreck, so Hallelujah. You see, majority of us don't know that song. I've started teaching, we're entering into rest. That's why I started like that. Because we like stress. Christians, especially African Christians, they like stress. I'm talking about, I can bet you that 50% of the Christians sitting here are exhausted spiritually. I can bet you. It's not because I'm not saying you're a sinner, like you are spiritually tired. Because you are doing unnecessary things. The Bible says, drop weight. If you hold weight, will you not tire? Even Jesus said, come and cast your weights. Because I care. That's why they look spiritually exhausted. You can tell when somebody is exhausted, even the sight of them. They are exhausted. Because they are carrying weight, wrong beliefs. Weights, according to scripture, are wrong ideologies, wrong beliefs. And they will subject you to the sin that easily possess. Before you know, you're offended, you are murmuring like the children of Israel. I'm going to show you here, that's why they did not enter the promised land. You will murmur, and from murmuring, you disobey. And the Bible said, God swore through the ministry of an angel in his rod that they will never enter. And they did not enter. I remember Deuteronomy, is it Deuteronomy 1 to 39? Some sort of, I'm not sure if you find it there. It says, for the generation that do not yet understand the difference between wrongs and evil, it said they will enter into the promised land. Not this present generation, the angel of the Lord speaking. But in that generation, they were so much filled with sense knowledge. They didn't really depend on revelatory knowledge, what God was saying to them. They depended solely on sense knowledge. Ouch, care. You know what it calls sense knowledge, isn't it? There's revelatory knowledge. If you read Kenyon enough, you hear that there's what we call sense knowledge. When man lost touch with God, when he ate from the wrong tree, he began to depend solely on the knowledge he attained from his senses. Alright, so for instance, God say you are healed, but your body, you can still feel the pain. Then you refuse to agree that you are healed. Because sense knowledge is more, you know, highlighted in your soul than revelatory knowledge. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So for many, for a long time, their spirit has been caged in the prison of their sense knowledge. You know, the powerful stuff in your spirit cannot be explored because what you depend on is what? Sense knowledge. So all of these, you know, wrong ideologies are the reason why you have weights. You are carrying weights, unnecessary weights. You look at the scripture and it's unbelievable sometimes when you read the Bible. In fact, every time you read the Bible, if you're wondering, the Bible says this, why am I here? The Bible says that, why am I here? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, root word in Joshua 1:8 for meditation. And I remember one time, I think I was teaching some folks, I said, switch beyond reading the Bible to meditating. Whenever you carry the Bible, it should be meditation, not just reading the Bible. And meditation entails you keep your phone. Listen, don't deceive yourself as much as you can. Don't study your Bible from your phone. Did you hear what I said? As much as you can. I'm telling you this from the depth of my soul. If you truly want to grow as much as you can, don't study the Bible. Keep your phone. As if you can be disciplined to off your data and really study. If you can't, you should know yourself. Alright? Carry your physical Bible. The days of reading physical Bible were stronger Christians than these days of reading Bible in the phone. Yes. I was watching a video and I saw the children of Elon Musk talking to the president of India. They were shaking hands and they were holding books, not iPad. I said, see this man, he wants to finish on the internet. He's giving his children books. There was two books they held. They were reading two books, all of them with one book, and no iPad. Why? He wanted to develop. He wants to develop. You can tell he knows these things. He wants to develop their mind very well. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. So you drop your phones away from everything. Get away from everything that has a potency to distract you. And read the Bible. That's what it means for you to meditate. If it says you are born of God and have overcome the world, that's what you read. You say to yourself, I'm born of God. The root word in Joshua 1:8 for meditation is the word Haggai, is a Hebrew word. It means to keep, to be muttering. More like what happens to a goat in the night. You remember? They have four stomach chambers, isn't it? And in the midnight, you see them chewing the cord. You know, they're still chewing. But they ate so much in the daytime, isn't it? If you stop at what you just do in this Tuesday service and Sunday service, there'll be no difference between you, your reactions to the world, to circumstances and situation will not be different from your reactions. I mean, from the reactions of unbelievers. You see yourself react exactly how unbelievers react. Because the only thing that will happen to you if you just stop at what you hear here on Tuesdays and on Sundays, you will just be a mental ascender. You are excited at the moment. You go back home, and you act like the world, because the word of God did not really get to your spirit. You know, the word of God is food for your spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's food for your spirit. And if you really want to be an effective Christian, the real you is a spirit. Hope you know. The hidden man of the heart. The real you is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Your body does not define you. The real you is a spirit. How effective that spirit will be and come in display upon the face of the earth to its full potential as a function of how much you feed on God's word. When you feed on God's word, the word of God is now situated in your soul and brings through your body, understand what is happening. Hallelujah to Jesus. You keep away from every distraction. Oh, I have eternal life. You see, when you say I have eternal life, without the understanding of eternal life, it will not be as effective as somebody that has your understanding. Do you know what eternal life is? Do you know what it can do? You know the things it can survive? You know what it can do? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If you know these things and say I have eternal life and meditate, oh, how, who is that devil? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Who is that devil? Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, I noticed my mother-in-law had a land case and she was trying to settle with the folks. And I noticed something. They may be watching with no disrespect. I noticed they were scared of one man in the community. And anytime they want to interface that man, I noticed they want me to come and be at the forefront. Why? Because he's into demonism. Witchcraft. Well, I've never sat down and meditated on the strength of his power and the possibilities that he can explore. I've never thought of it, because I know that cannot work around my parameters. So I've never wondered. It has never crossed my heart. I've never prayed because I thought of him. Else I'd be walking in unbelief. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The devil never steers my prayer life. He has never steered my prayer. It is only the word of God that steers my prayer. That's why the Bible calls it the good fight of faith. Not bad. I don't pray because I'm scared. When I'm scared, I carry the word of God and begin to meditate upon it, so that when faith rises, I begin to pray. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Satan does not determine my prayer time. No, it's not possible. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, Christians are, I feel they neglect these things because they think they are really stuff they can ignore, but you cannot ignore them. I was talking to that young man today. I said, people think that doctrine, you know, if you observe these Christians that have been around for a while, they seem to disregard the power of doctrine because they misunderstand this part of the Bible that says the kingdom of God is not in words and in the demonstration of the spirit. You know, I had some folks one time, they were praying and I was invited. They said the kingdom of God is not in word, but in the demonstration of the spirit. I'm the person to preach that day. And I saw how fierce they look, how much they were shouting and the rest. Of course, they misunderstood that scripture the way they could at it and was saying it. And when I took the mic, I said, to what extent do you people want to explore this kind of power you're talking about? What do you want to do with it? Do you want the light to stand still? What do you want to do? What really? What are you talking about? We have to show a higher percentage of power. What do you want to do? Just talk. I don't. Sometimes I'm trying to understand the drive. When there's need for power to be in display, it will show. God will make sure it happens. But that thing we're craving for, saying we have to do something more. What are you? What do you really want to do? I was asking the question like this. See, think about it. I said, that's how we'll keep on having an adulterous generation, because they desire a sign. Like Jesus said. So they can't stay one place because it's a sign they are desiring. They are not stable. Jesus called them an adulterous generation. He said, what greater sign can it be than that will happen in the days of Jonah? When he entered the belly of a fish for 3 days and came out alive. So which sign should be greater than that? Meaning, talking about his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. In other words, understand what I have done on Calvary. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? No, there's something I wrote somewhere. I think I should show you. All right, can somebody just briefly help me with the... Where is the story of Lazarus in the Bible? Somebody just check it for me. I want to show you something very important. This is not guesswork. Google it and show me. What? Alright, so let's open it. I want to show you something very outstanding. Let me see if I can just get the right words instead of reading for so long. Okay, let's look at Luke 16:31 because of what I want to say. So I think Luke gives a better rendition. Alright, now see what happened here. I was scared to talk to emphasize the scripture right now or talk about it because I just thought of how people crave unnecessary encounters. You know, one thing I've been careful to do for a long time, for a long time, is to make sure that I am not biased with people because I am not a fan of a certain way of doing this. By that I mean, maybe I see people quite fierce than me, you know, dramatic or charismatic than me, and I'm just naturally against them because I am more of a calm person. I've been very, very careful. In fact, sometimes I can be very charismatic. If you have ever seen me in that mood, you can agree with me. I grew up in a very charismatic and fierce environment. Are we together? And a few times when I pray, I can be like that sometimes. I can be quite dramatic. So I'm not against people because they are like that. Are we together? They can be perfectly okay and still be like that. But it's the wrong mentalities I miss the practice. I miss their charisma and etc. that I'm against. You can be saying things that sound tough, but they are not tough. Alright? Are you guys here tonight? You can say things that are tough. And if you assume that those tough sounding things, those things that are sounding tough are the truth, then you are still standing on sinking sand. It's still dangerous because you leverage on that and still fall. And you'll not be disappointed in God. But what you are standing on is not a rock. I was speaking with a brother before we continue here. He said he was a deeper lifer. And the reason why, my goodness. How did I make this mistake? So the story ends there. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. So the story ends there. Amen? Else it will be disrespectful. So go to the initial scripture. 30. You know, some people read so much meaning to something. If you say it now, the way they read it to be more than the way you have a meaning, yeah, assuming it. Do you understand? I'm thinking whether to cause me trouble. I've had a lot of trouble already, so let me not add one more trouble to my troubles. Amen? Are we together? And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them for the dead, they will repent. Now this is it. I'm going to neglect that. But this is it. People strive so much for a spiritual encounter. Have you seen people like that? Like they want to experience a particular thing in God. They're like, God, this thing, I want to touch it. Listen to me very carefully. It's very dangerous. It's very what? Dangerous. And this scripture affirms that. They wanted God, alright? They wanted God to create a supernatural encounter for the people who are alive. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. So the rich man is saying, he's in the bosom of Father Abraham, isn't it? And he's like, give this my brothers an encounter. trying to say it in a way you understand. That's what he meant for. But if one goes to them, of course, the person is in the realm of the spirit. He will interface with them on the physical, in the physical realm. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Give them an encounter so that they will stop bad stuff. They'll stop sin because there is hell. So the rich man is like, I don't want my brothers. Is it hell is so tough that people that are there don't even want you to come? Do not give you understanding. Ever seen it that way? Should I say what I just said again? That hell is so tough that the people that are there don't even want you to come. In other words, they did not keep quiet so that you come and join them and they'll say, good, let's enjoy it together. You know how human beings can be. They say, no, go and tell them not to come. This is too much for two people. Alright? That should not scare you. If you have chewing gum in your mouth, remove it before I remove you. Amen? I want to be nice to you. I will not call you. Remove that chewing. This is called chewing gum. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Hallelujah. He said, they will repent. Next part of scripture. See what Father Abraham said. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Did you get what he said here? If they did not understand what their Bible was, Moses and the prophet, if they did not hear the Bible, they did not believe what was in the Bible, they read the Bible and neglected. If somebody rises from the dead and tells them to not do wrong things, they will still not change. You see people saying that you need an encounter to change. If the encounter is word-based, it is true. But I tell you, if Jesus falls down here now and say, hi everyone, I tell you, some people will still go to club in 2 years' time if they are not standing strong with God. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Think about it. Some of you seated right here, don't worry, we are using the children of Israel as a case study. En route to the promised land. Some of you seated right here, you've had mind-blowing experiences and encounters before, haven't you? Can anybody remember a very magnificent encounter that they ever had? Like you knew that God touched you. Wave your hand. Like you felt God. You've never had, all of you? Huh? I'm asking you people a question. Raise your hand if you have ever had a very unique encounter. You knew God was in your room. Like you just knew there was God in your room. The rest of you, are you okay? You've never had. If you have had, raise your hands up. Let me see all of you. The rest of you, you're on your own. If you have been consistent, you should have. Huh? For all of you that raise your hands now, did you do something stupid after you still had those encounters? Huh? Okay. I'm just reminding you, you had an encounter like that before. But how dare you still did something stupid? What has been keeping you today is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing the word, not emphasizing an encounter. Are you listening to me? You see, they wanted a supernatural. He felt like, the rich man was like, if you give them an encounter, they will change. Send somebody. He said, no. If they've not been believing what Moses have been saying and the prophets, they will not believe this guy, even though he raises from the dead and gives them an encounter. Do not believe. I don't think he was even referring to another person. I think he was referring to himself, right? So go and tell them for a while and come back, isn't it?
If it was written, oh no,
are you people understanding me tonight? I'm just saying my own thing.
Third day, come back to life.
Meaning you don't even need any proof for you to hear that Jesus is not in the tomb again. Just believe what the Torah says. In other words, Jesus is saying, before I resurrect, they should have known I should even resurrect. Because it was written. Now, you have a situation right now that you probably don't know how it will end. Like, it's so rough. Anybody here? Now, I got you. You don't know the word of God. Else, you should know how it should end. It will end in praise. I know. No matter how you are smart in this church, I promise to get you one day. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, they responded from their high. Yes, yes. Felt like I wanted to follow them. I enjoyed that boring realm of sorrows. You should know how the end should be. Jesus knew the end from the sufferings, from the status quo. Seeing the glory that was set before him, he was like, keep on doing it. Hallelujah to Jesus. He knew that the end is glorious. And one of my friends broke this revelation. He said, and that end is you. Now, if Jesus took all of those things just for you, why are you doubting yourself? Why are you doubting yourself that you are the righteousness of God? That's what he died for. Say, I'm God's righteousness. Your sins are not just forgiven. You've been transformed as God's righteousness. Your sins are forgiven and now you are his righteousness. Kenyon believes that this is the greatest revelation that's ever hit the scriptures, according to E.W. Kenyon. He said, because when you are sin conscious, you can never explore all of your potentials in the realm of the spirit. But when you are righteous conscious, there is no end to what you can do in the realm of the spirit. Because you stand before God with no fear. I'm not saying human reference. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Fear. You know this physical human fear. No fear. He's your dad. And you reference him for that reason. There is no inferiority complex. You know, sometimes when I read the books of Kenyon, I'm wondering if this is what we really have in the Bible. Because, you know, one time I was reading him, he said, you are a spirit. You are in the class of God. I said, if you say this word too much in the Nigerian church, people will really have a problem with you. Are you a spirit? You are the God kind. That's what the Bible said. Huh? Ever thought about it? Are you a spirit being? Yes! Why do you have any doubt? You are a spirit who has a soul. I mean, if you are a spirit, why look at this doll? Who is this young, this pastor? I say you are a spirit. Are you alive? Sit on your toes. Don't sit dead. Amen? Don't sit defeated. Don't look defeated. Some of you are looking like you are in problem. Say, I have no problems. I only have victories. I only have victories. The songwriter said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. It will be amazing what God has done already. And you will know he will do something new again. Count your blessings. See what he has done. Forget about the present. Jesus asked them. He said, if I multiply the fishes and the bread, why are you doubting now? Because he spoke about the yeast of the Pharisees. They thought he was looking for bread. They started doubting, where will we get it? Where will we get it? He's not saying, Jesus became offended at them. He said, why are you looking for bread? Like you are finished. You remember I was the one that multiplied bread. In other words, when he does something, use that thing to rate him for the next thing he's about to do. Rate Jesus high based on what he had done before. If he did it before, he can do it again. And if you understand that, even in the depths of your problem, you will give him a sacrifice of praise. Don't look like your problem, because you have no problem. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's a promise. Satan will bring many afflictions your way. He said, because of the word of God on our inside, the devil brings so many tribulations and trials. You know, you don't even rate yourself high. That's why you cry inside situations and trials. You rate yourself so low. You didn't know that it is you. Satan means you. Listen, Satan means you very well. You see, all the day you came and received the word, and we told you, you are the God's righteous. I said, yes, sir. You just registered for trouble in the realm of the spirit. There's what we call test of light. You say, She raised her hand. She understands this, you know. Okay, let's steal it. And maybe if he comes, the thing has not entered the third layer. Just at the surface. Before you know, the person is doubting the word of God. But you can go beyond being a mental assenter. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? To feeding your spirit. It's like you are eating on a... When you meditate, you are staying with the word. You know, sometimes what we say, these testimonies. I was trying to share with somebody today. He was talking about land issues and the rest. And I was sharing with him that the person they were scared of, I shook him the day I shook him. I told my wife, is it too witchcraft? Before you know, they say, is it pastor? It's like when you came into this situation, the charm on my brother's face left. The guy is now calling them and warning them. The person that is begging there is now warning them. You cheat somebody, he's not trying to make peace with you. But all of a sudden, the person has changed. The day he wanted to shake me, I knew he was. I shook his hand and I pressed the hand. But because we've stayed with the word, what will an Igbayongu witch do to me? Where have you reached? You just operate within the parameters of Zakibia. Do you understand the spirit realm? Now that's too cheap a battle for me. We're talking about powers. You are calling a demon from Okpoga. It's people that don't have, you know, you take bike to even reach certain places. There's no one. Demon on bike. You know, you got to rate yourself so high, brother. You look at yourself and you are crying for lack. Cry when the creator, the source of wealth, is not just in heaven, he lives in you. If this kind of revelations don't make you cry, you are not a Christian. There's what we call holy passion. You see it, it's called a cry of the soul. What did I say the last time? A call of the soul. You read it and there's a call in your soul. Then you now turn that call into a cry of the spirits. I can't be broke. It's not possible. It has gone beyond you being a mental assenter. The thing now is in your spirits. See, how many of you have eaten good food in this place before? Where have you heard? How many of you have eaten bad food that you saw the reaction? Like you ate bad food and after the reaction you can tell that was bad food. Why did the bad food not just exist and left you even though you ate it? So I ate bad food and it just went away and left me. It became part of you. Became part of your blood. Became part of your flesh. Became part of your mood. Now you are getting weak. That's what happens when you eat good food. It becomes part of your mood. Your blood. You know, there are food that help you to have white blood cells and red blood cells. You are just eating it away, but the food is becoming part of you. Do you understand? That's what I'm talking about. If you meditate upon the word, what you are eating becomes part of you. Do you understand? So there is no becoming like God without meditation. Just like you cannot be healthy without eating. The only time we need medicine is because you are not eating well. You've not taken care of yourself well. Are you people listening to me? If you stay with the wisdom of God, you follow the pseudocles, you meditate day and night. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You can't survive without the word of God in your spirit. As at a point, you'll be reacting like normal human beings. Amidst situations, amidst tribulations. Because you are feeding just on food. But if you are feeding your spirit by the word, you can't be reacting like everybody. When men say there's a casting down, you come with a fronted and a joyful face. And there's a lifting up. And they are wondering, who is this one? No, we are aliens upon the face of the earth. That's what the Bible said. We don't talk like everybody. One of the Bible scriptures I'm going to read for you in Hebrews 4 is the fact that you've entered into God's rest. And you have ceased from your own works. You know, while I was meditating, the Lord showed me something that really hit my heart. Let's see Hebrews 4. I got so excited when I saw it. from verse 3, right? Firstly, I'm going to give you the root word for rest in Hebrews 4:3. Who has a concordance Bible? I want you to check something for me. Anybody? All right, don't worry. I'll check it when I get to that point. It was for another part of scripture, Genesis 2:2, and another part of scripture in an Old Testament scripture in the book of Isaiah, but let me leave that for now. Hebrews 4:3. The root word for rest here is anapausis. Anapausis. A-N-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. It means actively calming one's soul. Actively calming one's soul. It speaks of serenity, peace, tranquility. So, after saying all of these things, we can conclude that being in God's rest is being in God's peace. Having God's rest is having God's kind of peace. And when I was looking at this part of scripture, the scripture that came to my heart was the part of the scriptures that said, I've given you my word so that my joy. So you think like God, and that's why you act like God. Imagine God was in a family that the father was declared to have cancer. How would God behave in that situation? And somebody said, why are you saying God? Was God ever on the earth? Jesus is God. When Jesus was interfaced with a situation, a lady that was dead. Can you remember? When he was told, hallelujah, the first thing he attacked was unbelief, because he walked on the face of the earth as a man. The man Jesus. Of course, anytime you hear that, fear will want to rush in. He responded immediately. He said, she's not dead. He spoke the language of faith. He said, she's asleep. He did not lie. Paul told us that the ones that have died in Christ are asleep. They are not dead. Like unbelievers are calling them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He didn't lie there. He spoke the language of faith. He said, she's not dead. She's asleep. Glory to God forevermore. And when he got into the room, when doubters filled everywhere, he said, give us space. They went outside. He now called the name of the lady. What was her name? Can you remember? He spoke to her and she came back. What name? Tabitha. You know, Talitha Kum. So what was her name? Okay, I thought it's Tabitha. You know, Tabitha came to my heart because he... But... Okay. But people know Bible. Amazing. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, he said, come back. She came back. Wake up. Well, remember when he said she was asleep, what happened? The people ridiculed him. He started laughing. They ridiculed him. Hey, whoa! This one, the mad, oh. Imagine Jesus was in Makoni and he said that in high level. He said that, you know, some people are doing nice, but imagine Jesus was in this generation and he said somebody was asleep and VDM heard it. We're not saying he's a bad person. Or sorry, or Daddy Freeze. Before Jesus got there, they would have entered podcasts. I start talking. A honest bunch. It's not like some of these people are bad people, but you know, they are just working in the realm of the senses. And of course, when people misbehave, some men of God have misbehaved, they now take advantage of that, they leverage on that, and they're just trying to cause some kind of trouble. Are we together? The Bible said they ridiculed him. They laughed at Jesus because he spoke the language of faith. And if you speak the language of faith, you see the result of faith. Do you understand what I just said? Glory to God. Live in the faith realm, not sense realm. Don't never make that mistake. He has given us His word so that His joy remains in us. If you are thinking God's word, you'll be acting like God in any situation. All right, let's read together. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were what? You know where this is in Psalms 95. Let's see it so that you don't misunderstand God. Some people say God swear. Let's not misunderstand God. Psalm 95 from verse 5. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Next part of scripture. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Next part of scripture. I think we are in it now. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, next part of scripture, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial, in the wilderness. Alright, it's comparing something now. Go ahead. Verse 9. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. Next part of scripture. For 40 years, I was gripped with that generation. How many years? What? You know, God is really patient. 40 years, He was watching people with bad character not change. Still providing for them. And everything. You know, I was sharing somewhere, I said, is it His God? If you don't really understand this God, you will just be deceiving yourself, thinking you are doing stuff to Him. How can these people be seeing fire by night, cloud by day for 40 years? He did not withhold that supernatural experience. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Imagine what I'm saying. Every night, God's angels will come and create fire so that there is no cold in the wilderness. At the daytime, God's angel will come and create a cool cloud so that there's no heat. Their clothes were not fitted for 40 years. Is that not supernatural encounter? Supernatural experiences. Yet, the Bible said, see what God is saying. God was grieved with that generation. For how many years? 40 years. Yet, He did not withhold His benevolence to that people. I don't know how people get what I'm trying to explain it. They kept on acting stupid. Not realizing that, I wish you can picture what I'm trying to say. You see, they didn't necessarily have all they needed. Listen very carefully. Like they wanted. Alright? By that I mean, they expected so much. In that, firstly, where they were coming from, Egypt, they felt they ate more food. They had more opportunities. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now they are supposed to get to the promised land. It has been promised them that in that land, there's a lot of resources. Now they've not got into that land. Meanwhile, did they always eat food? Huh? Who is saying no? Did they always eat food or not? Except you want to have problem with God. They always ate food. Did they always drink water? Yes. Their clothes, did they fade? Was there AC for them every time? Huh? Was there fire by night? Did they have sense? Were they behaving well? In their heart, they felt like they deserve it. No, this is nothing. But who was doing all of this thing for them, even though they felt that it was so small? It was God. I wanted to catch something here. Even though they felt that what they were seeing was not enough, who was doing it for them? Huh? Huh? Even though you are not where you are right now, who is making sure you eat every day? Even though you've not gotten that money you are looking for, who is making sure that customers are coming to patronize you? Listen carefully. You may not be where you are, you want to be yet. But the person that is keeping you right now, giving you water and everything in this your wilderness, is God. The person that has made sure that accident did not hit you, bandit did not touch you, in this your wilderness, is God. He's not pleased with all of your character yet, but he's still providing. He's still protecting. But he wants you to still touch the promised land. He wants you to get to the promised land. Please follow me carefully. Amidst all of these things he's doing, where does he want you to end? Promised land. We see the problem with the children of Israel is that they focus now on their needs so much than where they are supposed to be. It's not enough. Egypt, forget the former things. Forget it. Before I became a Christian, I know, you know what? You want to be braggadocious with the glory of Egypt? He has warned you. He said, do not envy the prosperity of the wicked. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Don't even look at them twice. You may be in the wilderness. Focus on the Holy Spirit. Let him change your character. Else, I tell you, God will be patient with you for 40 years and more. And in these 40 years, you'll be having supernatural encounters. Your feet will be burning. Your palms will be feeling cold in service. I want you to get me. You'll be feeling goosebumps. I've heard people that say anytime I see more, we heard a gospel minister one time in this town, that anytime he sees more, he feels the presence of God more. You will feel the cool by day. You feel the fire by night. It doesn't mean you are sensible. And even though he's the one doing all of these things, at the end, see what he said, for 40 years, I was disappointed in that generation. But what if this is okay for Christians today, and this is what the present church calls church? They are satisfied by these little experiences yet. And it's not necessarily about the experiences, really. If you look at it now, God is not calling them to a higher realm where mountains will be flying. Because they're already experiences right now. Where mountains will be flying, when they move, and sand will just move, and you know, iron bender. And that was not where it was. He just wanted them to understand his ways. And understand how to operate. And that's why Moses was more unique. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because he understood the ways, but they understood only what? The arts. And it's dangerous for every church member that you don't understand how things are done. Only pastor understands. Before you know, pastor will become God. He will be acting like God. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. And it will be dangerous for the members because they can't survive on their own. Because it's not every time pastor's line will go. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Huh? Anytime you are sick, I speak. You know, somebody acted so foolishly, and I wish she's really watching. She's a member of this church. She called me one night that she couldn't sleep, and that she's feeling like her brain was going away. And I asked her, where did this start? So I didn't want to go so deep in the thing. I said, in the name of Jesus, stop now and sleep. You'll be fine. She woke up the next day already and posting everywhere on the status. She did not call. And she's not still posting right, it's stupid thing, she's still posting on her status. Even now she's in this town, she's not in church. I saw her status, she's in this town. Came for clearance. And I say, this one now is the typical example of children of Israel. Only acts, but not ways of God. In your mind, you have a papa. What if my number did not go that night? Probably you'll be in the cloud of witnesses. You know, people are laughing. Do you know it is, if you know the kind of little mistake that made people die, you'll be so surprised. Have you heard when somebody died, you are saying, but it would have been avoided? They did not take the person to the hospital. They died in it. That if somebody had not spoken a word over you, probably will be in the wrong side of the cloud of witnesses. Because maybe you are not really living right. It's not like I'm God, but I wanted her to just behave rightly. You needed to hear, and she was crying. How did I know that she was okay? Status. The next time I said, this Makodi heat is very hot, or blah, 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 and I don't know, she's in town. No wonder I heard one pastor, he said, block all those people's number, block it. But of course, we will not be proud of ourselves if wrong thing happens, so we'll still leave it. If God was with them for 40 years and you grieve the generation, me too, I'll be with you for 40 years. If you don't want to be wise, it's your own cup of tea. Hallelujah to Jesus. But you should be wise. Are you listening to me? Moses understands the ways of God. They understood only the act, and that's why they were not wise at all. And I remember one time I was teaching you that brave leadership is not giving the people what they want. It is giving the people what they need. You know, I was telling somebody this afternoon that the strength of any ministry is not the crowd that gathered, it's the disciples that are there. I can sit anywhere and teach 20 people, 30 people with so much excitement because I'm sure they are disciples. They are followers of Jesus. The strength of any ministry, I'm not against crowd. Oh, crowd is part of ministry and I love crowds. Are we together? But the strength of any ministry is in her disciples. The people that are practically following Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? People who are living effectively as Christians. So I told him, major on raising disciples, not just gathering people. Create systems every day. Supervise those systems to raise disciples for Jesus. And if you get the crowd, it's not bad. Get the crowd. Let them come. But if they come, make sure you have a sufficient system to make sure these crowds are what? Disciples.
One time, the angel of the Lord said, Moses, let me kill all of them.
Else we are not making any progress.
He now asked the angel, what would the people say? What will people say? What will people say that you now...
That's why Aaron failed as a leader.
You carried them from Egypt.
He wanted to satisfy the needs of the people.
See,
he wanted
start,
to please
you
the
your,
people.
You and that your wife.
Brave leadership, a lot of times will not please
one,
people.
I will know how to do this.
You will not be excited with the pastor.
Some people would have agreed to say, hey, are you sure this
Jesus?
Thing will work?
It's not
be,
times have
God will not
really
give me
some of you thinking, well, okay, in the 21st
start,
century, the way people
come
out,
guys, I don't like
those days. That's how they can be funny today. The Bible says there's no temptation that is not common to man.
Moses refused.
Don't look at the train of Israel.
Imagine
like
you wake up in the morning
people.
As a leader and you come
they
before
they
people that created a committee
like
for
you.
You
and I.
You understand? People to sack you from
they
a position.
Even
I mean, last
they
night you just
right.
legislated for them not to die and they want to sack you.
People that stood against
imagine what I'm trying to say. Picture it. Like if you
somebody
had not spoken twice, they would have died by now.
But they are the ones standing and say, Moses, on the strength of these counts that were found against you, you will not be a leader. And Moses is like... And the angel is still around saying, make I run this place. Make I run into them. I'm always like, just leave there. Leave there. Hi, God. Hey. He was a meek man. Are you people getting out trying to say? You know, my point of contention is that kind of meek man did not enter promised land. Because of people. The same people he was called to save. See, I love Moses, so anytime I read that, the only person I think about is Moses. But at that point, I say, hey, what better example will I look at now? And the Holy Spirit told me, Jesus. I say, hey, because me, I must enter that. Nobody will kill me. Oh, eh, me? Why do you think I don't talk a lot of times? Just 2 weeks is enough. Just misbehave. I'll call people and say, that person has misbehaved. Everybody behave well, eh? Say yes. That's all. And tell you that's all. That's all. I'll not ask my wife. I'll not sit down somewhere in the house and say, Mati, I'm tired. Ask her. I'm still eating well. Because I still have that remembrance in my. The Holy Spirit kept reminding Moses to not enter the promised land. Moses was legislating with God for water to come for these people. Imagine Moses was talking with an angel. Let water come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He was arranging for water.
for Paul. They wanted pure water, one. It was necessary for Paul, so that the water will be eternal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Why was necessary? Moses was tired. Well, imagine when he was talking up for their head. Moses lost it at that point. These people are there. He lost it. See, Moses, calm down, calm down. Just speak to the, just hit it once. Hey, rubbish people. Say, why did you do like that? Sir, you obviously saw what they did. It's not my business. Me and you, we have a deal. It's a standard. So you verse for me. No, my God, it's for the people. You are showing the anger for me. Alright, no problem. Are you seeing how God is disciplined? Okay. God and me now, if God pastored his church, the discipline, more than my own. I have not carried cane to flog anybody any day in this place. Have I carried cane to flog anybody? Did Jesus flog people koboku? Yes or no? And at some point of exploring our discipline as pastors, you think we are not as nice as Jesus. You know, one time I had a story, very funny story. A lady, I had a meeting with pastors, she used to be, and I was quite disappointed. My wife had been consoling me to just try. I said, you see, when I train people, I don't expect to be talking to pastors like children wearing pampers. If people should be suffering me in church, it should not be pastors. It should be members. I won't be angry with Joy. So I said, I'm tired for that kind of misbehavior. She's just being a mental center. The world is not. And my wife was like, Pastor Simon, you have to. And believe me, I truly listened to my wife. So I haven't told her ahead of me, okay, go and do the talking. And the rest. And it didn't become any better. We still kept on hearing funny news and just irregular. I wonder what is really happening. And one time the Lord told me to go and have a meeting. But I called everybody. They were already expecting the meeting. And I had it online. And I spoke out fiercely. What is wrong with you? Blah, 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 blah. Look at how old that you are. You are behaving like a toddler in the spirit. Blah, 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 blah. Of course, nothing like God punish you inside and the rest. And guess what? I heard that my VN was everywhere. They've shared it to family members. I mean, they said, not that pastor. Hey, not bad pastor. Not that pastor. Hey, not bad pastor. And when the person was telling me, he said, sir, I just want you to take it easy. I said, take what easy? You, is your life that is even my concern now. Forget about that story. The truth is that it doesn't bother me. I heard it's very, very, very popular now. If you just want to laugh, you can just play it. I hear how wicked I am. They will be like, hey, wicked pastors, this is world. You know. But I truly don't care. I said to myself, any father that have sins, any pastor that have sins, we know that I did nothing there that was bad. It's only expedient that at some point we have to reprove you. We have to. The Bible says, a wonderful son, a blessed son, listens to the rebuke. He did not say instruction. He said rebuke of his father. Are you listening to me? If we must enter the rest, the things that the children of Israel did not do, you know, the things that they did wrongly, I mean, we will not do it like that. Because the Bible uses that them to compare us entering the rest. In Hebrews 4. You know, the most wonderful part of that scripture say is that they did not mix what they had with faith. What do you think that means? Faith is not just just hearing the word of God and speaking it. Mm-mm. It goes beyond that. You have to act according to what you are believing or what you have believed. For instance, if you are not sick, don't act like a sick man. Don't talk like a sick man. So if they truly understand that there is a promised land for them, they should not be talking about Egypt. Making reference to Egypt in their communication. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Anytime they get offended, they say, we remember what is happening in Egypt. Really? They talk harshly at their leader Moses. They don't say some kind of things that prove that they don't have faith. For instance, when the what they call them spies came back, 10 of them said the wrong news. 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, came and said the right things. And Moses applauded the report of Caleb and Joshua. And the Bible said the people took up stones. That's what it meant for that. They did not mix what they had with what? Faith. I know sometimes when you read that, you are wondering they were not speaking the word. They were not saying that. No! Their actions proved that they didn't have faith to enter the promised land. So if you must enter God's rest today, you must act like you understand what the word of God has said about you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, throw off the conversation of the old man. You know what that means? You can't say I'm weak. You'll be discussing with somebody and say, what is your weakness? Say, I have no weakness. That should be your response, because you are a new creation. A new creature. No record of the old in you. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? Somebody say, Pastor, I'm not really new. The things I've been doing. You will not become new because you will stop sin right now. It is when you understand how new you are that sin will stop. Hear what I said again. It is not in stopping sin that you become new. It is as you understand how much new you are that sin will stop. You are a new creation to act new. You are not acting new to be called a new creation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And listen, God is not about to make you a new creation. How many of you know have Christ in this place? You are a new creation. I mean, I hate when people don't behave like they understand the word. I say you are a new creation. Uncommon. That is why you walk in sin if you don't respond to the word. You don't prove you understand the word. You are a new creation. Brand new creation. You can't go back and be talking like the old folks. You can't go back and be talking with friends that are putting you in wrong situations. That boyfriend has been that girlfriend that always talks about you. You can. You are a new creation. You don't go back and you go back now. As I'm saying, the Satan will set you up. You go back and they eat your food in the house, or they remove your meat. And probably your mom didn't complain because she has been warning you not to come back from church late. So she wanted to feel it. I mean, you see how excited you are. You are a new creation. You are a new. And you just get back home and the beast wants to find manifestation. Where is my food? Joy ate it. You did what? Okay, where's my food? Where's the meat? Samuel ate it. Samuel did what? If I give you 10 minutes to put my meat back. If not, this house will not contain. I mean, this is a new creation. Contain me and you. Satan knows, oh, you are going back home. New creation. You just take a bike. As people are going, a motor nearly jam you people. And the motor did not jam you people finally, because it will not jam you people. And after that happened, you are like, God, what kind of idiot is this one in that car? I mean, that's a new creation. Don't go back to the old life. You are a new creation. If you behave like this, we're just a mental center. You don't understand the word of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm a new creation. As we are talking now, sicknesses are checking out. Because they are not supposed to be close to a new creation. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Okay, we're still reading here, right? For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation, and I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They don't do it physically, it's in their heart first. Many times in scripture, the Bible says they murmured. That's why they did not enter the rest. Murmuring. The stubborn people, they murmur a lot. Pastor Peter. I'll nod him one day. You know, they've not people in their heart. Some people are sick. Oh, those kites. I'll give him. Simeka, blow him for heck now. They went astray in their hearts. You know, God was hearing what they were saying about him in their hearts. He was hearing what they were saying about Moses. So you should go like this. Go like this. Go like. For leave us for Egypt, he carried us the Wakai. We be good. They went astray. They were talking against Moses in their hearts. They give instruction in church. They say, do like this. I better go. You see. Go and evangelize. I saw some people happy that they did evangelize. My wife was sharing with me that she saw them changing their status with their videos. They achieved something great. See how they are happy that they did evangelism. You know, they felt like they went to Zambeza Forest and preached. You see how happy and fulfilled they felt. So happy. But it's a nice feeling. When you do the will of God, this is how you are happy.
Something happened.
Those ones have marine spirits working in them. They don't hear. They are children of Israel. It's them I'm talking about. They don't want to grow. You think you grow as a Christian by saying, I have the word of God. Hey, my money is making progress. Oh, my account. You will not get anything. Shishi. Because look at you. Everything is about you. What are you doing for God? Everything is about you. Oh, that satisfies my mouth with good things. It's true, but you don't see it. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I am not lacking anything. Okay now. The Lord is your shepherd and you cannot go and do evangelism. He's shepherding you now. You are behaving like goats. Then you want to sit down and say, money, come back to me. Come and carry the money. If you are the one that created heaven, carry it and come. Let's bet if you see anything. You will not see shishi. As long as the Lord liveth. That's the truth. He has said that when you seek first the kingdom and my word, he said every other word, good thing. I tell you, if you are doing the right thing, before you say money to come, say, I don't come here since you don't obey instructions. You know? You've been obeying all this, why? That's why I've been at your doorstep. Take money. Good, don't shout too much. I'm here already. I heard a man of God one time, he said he was just looking at the bed. I think it was Pastor Bill, the one with Bethel Church. He was looking at the bed at the bank of the river and he was saying, wow, I wish this bed was mine. As he was talking, the bed came and just landed on his shoulder. And he started crying. He was just excited, full of joy and thanking the Lord. And the Lord told him, if you seek first my kingdom, every other good thing is yours. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, God's word is not abiding in you. You come and sit in church, you cannot obey instructions. You are in the wilderness, you are not hearing word. 40 years. I tell you the truth. How do you think you grow? Church is not just sitting down. Go prove your call, do the work of an evangelist. That's what the Bible said. You can't be claiming you love God and every time, I want to thank God, people of God, hallelujah. Somebody thank God with me, now my shop, 5-5 customers, now it's 15-15. People of God, amen. When pastor declared, for verse who collect the declaration, because you were not, and if for 15 now you think you see success, obey the word of the Lord. Obey the word of the Lord and see. Are you listening to me? Are you guys listening to me, church? And you see, as a Christian, one of the things you do, make sure people around you do the right thing. Sometimes I call you people in church, some of you that are close to people who are being stubborn, I'll say, make sure your friends behave well. It's your responsibility. Make sure your friends behave well. Always make sure the people around you are thinking right. They should not explore nonsense around you. Because if you keep quiet, you are still part of the problem. You must be your brother's keeper. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And your sister's keeper.
He said, it is a people who go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. For 40 years. If they had known, they would not be behaving the way they were behaving. What is the solution? Knowing his ways. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? Next part of scripture. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is where Paul got it from, that he told us in Hebrew. We can go back to Hebrew 4. They shall not enter. They were stubborn. For 40 years, behaving anyhow. I was part of Glory Carriers when they started on campus. I was part of it. Bible study, you cannot follow online. A meeting in church, you can't attend. But you were part of the beginning. Where is the proof that you were part of the beginning? You cannot even find. Because you were just within the wilderness. You were not obedient. You were not listening. Are you listening to me? Came out from Egypt only to be suffering in the wilderness. Why? Because you don't want to listen. It was so sad for them. They were frustrated, not knowing they were the cause of their frustration. 40 years they thought that God was the problem. Meanwhile, God was seeing them as a problem. If you look at this, they were complaining at God and Moses. Of course, it's a very good picture compared to what happens today. See, somebody in church is not happy with pastor, is not happy with God, thinking that's their problem. Meanwhile, they are their problem. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They are their problem. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he said they will not enter. They are not qualified. Listen, God is a superb leader. It's not about emotions. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? These are not the kind of people that deserve the promised land. There's a standard of people that should be there. Imagine as a Christian at this point of your life, 3 years, 10 years, 15 years in the faith, you are still borrowing. The slightest need that comes to your life is borrowed. How do you want to enter your rest? Meanwhile, you are not seeing God's provision. That's why anytime a problem just comes for a financial crisis just happened. Please, can you borrow everybody you have tried, everybody on your list? Your shame has gone. You don't care who the person is. How do you grow? Did you read your Bible since I was born? Now I'm getting old. I told David to come, to wait. I wish God gave him more time. He said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. That's the first word he said. The righteous cannot be forsaken. He said, but me, I've been forsaken. You don't know you are God's righteousness. If not, you should not be forsaken. Then he said, no, beg for bread. He said, I've come to a point that I've been overwhelmed by the hand of God. To a point I don't even remember. So I'm not trying to be indisciplined. I take the testimonies to become a norm right now. That at the slightest time when the knee is supposed to be, I'm just very close, like it will not happen. It just happened. And I'm not shocked. It was happening at the initial point, the shock. Now I'm so okay that I can take, you can meet me and I know there's a serious need and I have my last 40,000. I'm not saying that to make me look nice. I can remove that 40,000 and give you, knowing that when my time comes for me to need money to do something, it will just come immediately. I've seen it several times. That's why it's amazing that it's very hard for somebody to come around me and say they need to do something and I will not come through. It's not possible. I just know that if I'm doing the right thing, then the resources will keep on coming. As long as I'm doing the right thing. And that doesn't mean I'm stupid. People can take advantage of me. No. Are you listening to me? Oh, glory to God forevermore. You have to change the wrong character. Change it. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. I mean, the person you are admiring now is somebody that was your classmate that is not born again. And we say, well, but they are going to church. They are going to one church. No, that's not the point. We know what we are talking about. You have discovered destiny. You've discovered the call of God upon your life. You guys are different. You are using that person now to compare your life. You go on Facebook and you cannot think well. Why? You see that, they have even buy car. Hey, God, oh, this one, that one. And you are shaking. You can't concentrate. Imagine the children of Israel had friends in Egypt that they were checking on them. Hello, Johnson, I found out why we stayed in the wilderness. We never reached promised land.
As me, I know, I've heard David on our side. Imagine the shame and the disgrace. Imagine the shame it will bring upon heaven.
That you are serving God, you are serving Him, but you are not hearing what? One time your cousin you were trying to lead to Christ is giving you advice. Now, well, don't make you leave that side now and try another city. You get one business way there, where they say, Soto, my dear, please send me the link. Really, link, this thing don't work for me, or if I can't join you, my sister. And the final thing is that she now gave you a husband, she connected to somebody, and you're about to get married. I mean, how did we get here? This was somebody we were trying to lead to Christ. Are you able to get out and try and say? You are in church trying to lead somebody to Christ. Why do you carry your phone? Trust me, how far? Fine. I think get 2K for your hand. Do you know the disgrace you bring to heaven? The disgrace, the shame and reproach. Angels, all of them will just do like this. You know when the Bible says they hide their eye from seeing the glory? They hide from seeing that your shame. That's disgraceful. Somebody who does not have, who is even looking down on your consecration, say, why are you wasting your time? Yeah, I call you, I need, but he said, I told you that table, no, you have to change. He's advising you before he send money. Are you able to get out and trying to say? Oh, glory to God forever. Glory to God. You know, one time, a pastor friend called me. The first time he met me, he asked me for money. And I truly have a problem with people like that. How can you just go me today and you are borrowing money from me? So he said he wanted 10,000. I gave him 5,000. So he said he'll give me in 2 weeks. As we talk now, he has not given me. He said, that money I gave him when I was in 100 level. I'm telling you the truth. We're still talking, but I always used to think about that money once in a while. Like, we talk very well, you know? But I'm still surprised that he cannot remember that he's owing. It's not like I want him to pay. I just want him to remember. But I don't want to feel bad, because if I remind him that he may feel, I may feel bad. I want him to remember by himself. If he just remember, I'll say, oh, thank you for paying me the money. I'll feel like he has paid the money. I mean, it was cool. He has eaten the money. He said 2 weeks. I will keep on talking, and he's shaking me very well. Like, he will still come out and eat and do things. Like, till he graduated, I graduated. And I mean, he's married with 2 kids, I don't know, 3 kids or something now. I also ask myself, what time again now called to borrow? I remember. So I said, I said, how much is it? 10,000. That time, 10,000 is big money. But the funny thing is that he has never asked how I wrote the ministry and pay my rent. So I feel so disappointed. I don't say right now I can't give you, but I would have been able to give you. But right now, I want to pay my rent. He said, Pastor, I've never even thought of how you pay your rent. And hi, Pastor, how do you do this thing? I said, don't worry, there's a mighty supply. And believe me, I just paid my rent, so I couldn't really reach out for him. I would have actually given. So he was not feeling, but he had to come with him. He said, Pastor, I'm so sorry that I've not donated anything since we started. You know, I was just in my heart, I was like, look. I have this mindset. You know, I used to tell pastors, there's a pastor I told this. I said, you see, why I don't have, he was telling me, sir, I'm sorry I've not really given money for your ministry. I said, we are both pastors. Face your ministry, let me face my ministry. Eh? When you have project, do it. If I have project, I'll do it. Don't be expecting anything from me. Eh? Me too. Don't worry, there's no problem. No, sir. I said, no, there's no problem. If I don't send for you, don't feel bad. Eh? Me too, I will not tell you to send. Let's just be moving like this, but we're friends. Well, of course, if there's a serious need, I can reach out. I can help. The point is, don't be a borrower. Sometimes you have not explored God's hand. You've not explored God's power yet. It's borrow.
You have not shouted, money come to me now. You are just like, oh boy, money come, keep that one for side. I bet you will be borrow me 20 times. Money come and na magic. I don't know who posted that in home. Some of our members like that, and I think on Facebook. The mother told the young man, "You want to buy a Fatula car?" He said, "Yes." Enter the car. He entered the car. Push the car. She now said, "Okay." Say, "This car is my car." He said, "This car." He said, "Mommy, that's not how you get this." All this Christmas.
Too deep for words.
And he came out. And he called him that he lost the contract, but there's a good news. He got another contract where
according to the will of
he will be giving 30k per location.
But all things,
you know, how many locations? He said 26,000 locations. He now turned to the car. He can buy that car now 2 times.
We've explored.
But what is the
spiritual principle?
What did
he tell him verse 26 of Romans 8?
See,
that he that knows the spirit did some work.
The problem is that you think as you are saying this guy is my car,
are you
going to
get down and try and say,
when
all of a sudden 28 is happening,
around.
You turn here, things are working for your favor.
The Bible says when
you
we
turn here,
comes,
are you going to get down and try to say,
yeah.
That's why you make bold declarations.
This,
the
like
gold am I. Those words are shaping the universe to favor you. Are you going to get down and try to say,
as you speak like that, you come to understand that the world is more like a magnetic field. And you are the real matter here. Everything will begin to gravitate around you. But listen to what I was saying. It is not just, I think the mistake we make in the New Testament age is that we leverage more on confessing the word, more on, which is right, confessing the word, than being the man in Christ. I don't know if people are getting what I'm trying to say. The goal, according to Philippians 1:13, is that the Holy Spirit in you is a surety that everything Jesus has done, you will become it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So what's the goal of the Holy Spirit? He wants to make you like Jesus. That's the number one goal. Then give you everything like Jesus should have. Jesus owns everything. That's why the Bible will say all things are yours. Because as a man in Christ, everything is supposed to be your own. But number one, you must be like Christ. So if you are just somebody, that's not how it works. If you are somebody that is just the God of mine, and are not staying with the Holy Ghost enough, exploring the right revelation that should make you like Christ, you will say it and you'll be frustrated because you will not see it. I don't know that people are getting on trying to say, that's the mistake that happens. So you see people living anyhow and saying, I have all things. They are working in immorality, I have all things. It doesn't work like that. This is your confession. You are confessing that you have all things. First, confess it for the right things. Yet, I am like Christ, being bought at a price. I have eternal life in the name of Jesus. I'm above all thee. Never be beneath. I can never be subjected. I see that the Father's right hand. These are confessions that make sure that you begin to manifest that life of Christ. So that when you begin to see the gold and mine, it is true. You like this deserve the gold. This man in Christ deserves the silver. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because the prosperity of a fool destroys him. But you are not a fool. You are like Christ. So you deserve all prosperity because he cannot destroy you. This is the balance. And that's why the Bible says there's something we do to enter into the rest. This is it. The Holy Ghost gives us revelation and he helps us to pray. What are we doing? Nothing. That's why the Bible says he that understands God's work has ceased from his own works. It doesn't mean that you are not praying in the spirit. You know, you are not going to labor in the spirit. It means your own physical way of getting things, you have stopped doing it. It's not your own physical way of getting things you are exploring again. It is the Lord's way of doing things. I told you one time, when the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, it's not saying just keep your hand like this. Do the things he has instructed you to do. The principles that entails for you to do to get them, do it. In doing everything God wants you to do for a particular result, you are being still. But if you do something outside what he has told you to do, you are not being still. You are trusting the arm of the flesh. I don't know that you, but I get on trying to explain to you. Do you understand me right now? So this is what it means for to labor and enter the rest. Revelation on one hand, prayer. And we're not praying wrongly. We must be aiming at something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you don't have the right revelation, prayer will be useless. Because no matter how you do those things, the Bible calls it clanging cymbals. If there's no revelation of love, which is God, for God is love, it said it is clanging cymbals that the tongues have become. Do you understand?
Effa, there's something that I tried explaining one time, and I wish you can get it now, that you can have all the faith to move mountains. And the early fathers of faith, they call it gift of faith, because sometimes they wonder, you are not really behaving well, you know, and you just speak things and they come to pass. So they say that thing should be a gift. And I understand, because the scripture calls it gift of faith, but of course in the original it is the manifestation of the Spirit in terms of faith. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? The Holy Spirit in you can give you the boldness to speak things and it comes to pass. But you see, what I'm trying to say is this. That's the workings of grace. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? It's a working of grace. What I mean is this. You see, people will tell you that no matter what you do in the flesh, it does not work. Because they've seen themselves in the depths of their sins say things and it comes to pass. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Take for instance Matthew 7. He said, they did this in my name, they did that in my name, but I'll tell them at the end what? Away from me, you workers of what? For I never what? Now those privileges are there, but you see, you are not matured. You are not a mature son of God. You are still a techno. God is not calling you an outcast because you have made a mistake right now yet. But if you make mistake your way of life, the wages of sin is what? It will destroy you. Finally, you'll be destroyed. He will not take you and say, no, you're out, get out. Mm-mm. He said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. He has told you. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But is he saying that keep on living in sin, that grace may abide like Paul said? He said, God forbid, how can us that are dead to sin? Meaning, it's an atrocity for somebody who is matured in Christ. He can't think of that sin. He can't think of living in sin. If you truly are matured in Christ, you can't think of living in sin. If you are living in sin and thinking that is how a Christian should be, you are not grown, you are a technon. And whatever you are doing at the end will destroy you. So at that point, you can speak to things, it can happen probably. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And that's why Paul said, if you speak to mountains, if you have the gift of faith so that you can, how did he put it? 1 Corinthians 13. So that you can say to a mountain, to a teen, let's see it now, it's short. It's not far from us. I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And I have all faith so that I could what? But I have no love and what? Mountains there simply means situations, tough situations. You can speak to things, they change. Like Jesus said, they did this in my name, but I say to them what? You workers of what? I heard the preacher say something like this and I was laughing. He said he wished that when you are in sin, God will remove the anointing. But you just see it keep on flowing. To be flowing. I tell you the truth, you raise a song, you come, you quote the scriptures. Hallelujah to Jesus. But if you truly understand the Lord deeper, you stay with the Holy Ghost, you can't walk in, you can't continue in your sin. Kenton Coleman said, compromise does not destroy at once, but surely it destroys. I'm trying to say it the way I said it that day. Can you remember I put the words? She said, compromise will not destroy at once immediately, but surely at the end it will destroy. Yeah, she said, compromise destroys slowly but surely. It surely destroys. It destroys slowly, but it surely destroys. This is what I'm trying to say. You are in church, nobody knows, you have this girl, you are always going back. I'll be very real with the example. You are going back to kiss her and do all those rubbish with her, or you have this guy, you are going out there to misbehave with the guy. You are not going to feel, you know, you still feel the anointing, you feel goosebumps like the children of Israel, cloud by day, fire by night. You feel it, you feel the presence of God. Of course, it is for the kind of you, all right, that the presence of God came. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He came for sinners. So don't think you are in a service and the presence of God will be far from you. You will feel it so strong. But to the end that you change. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But the point I'm trying to make is this. If you misunderstand that grace of God and think it is a leverage, it should be a leverage for sin. And every time you are still going back to that sister or that brother, or doing anything you are doing, cheating, whatsoever you are doing in school, you know, even my practice and the rest, a point will come, it will surely destroy you. It destroys slowly, but what? Surely. Because the proof that you are not wise is the fact that you continue in the sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's the fact that you continue. If it was a mistake and you stopped, fine. But now you are leveraging. That means there's a wrong understanding somewhere.
that is sustaining you in that way of life.
And there's a popular belief that whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Listen, I am submitting to you as your pastor. It's a demonic teaching from hell. What Paul called doctrines of demons and devils. This God, and sin is a problem to him. This God that we have is too big to tell you something and go and hide and leave you there. Let me even finish this part of scripture. Go back to Hebrews 4. I promised myself to finish that part of scripture, because there are powerful revelations there. He said, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine? Whatever you want, you are trusting God to enter into, whatever God wants you to enter, he has finished doing it now. He said, it is. Then he gave you the Holy Ghost and said, bring them there. People of God, can you picture this? Something that is already finished. He now gave you the Holy Ghost. You just need to partner with this Holy Ghost. That's all. I tell you, if all of us here don't have a walk with the Holy Spirit, we will never enter the rest. Not congregational walk. By that I mean you just come to church and sit down and listen to me. You must have a personal walk with the Holy Spirit. And I tell the truth, if you truly have, people of God, there are certain things will not be telling you every day not to do. There are certain things. If you sit with the Holy Ghost, I will not be correcting you so much. There are some of you I follow you up to your DMs. I can't be suffering that much if you really have a walk with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me, people of God? You must have a walk with the Holy Ghost, because you see, even though he has something congregational for us as a church, he has something personal for you as a person. He has something personal. In fact, you will not future well in this congregational assignment until he's done with you personally. You will not future well. We will not know how to use you until you have a personal walk with the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes you see people in church for many years, we can't use them. Because they are still static. One character, it has not changed. Instead of being blessed by their existence, we are grieved. Like God was grieved with the children of Israel. Are you listening to me? The works are finished already from the foundation of the world. Next part of scripture. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. When he was done, he rested. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, for many years, I tried to understand this scripture. I've been very, very honest. And sometimes I get more confused than I ever started. Until the Lord opened this part of scripture to me. In Genesis, is it 2:2? Right? I think it's 2:2. Let me see it briefly before we come back here. Very fast, please. Genesis 2, on the seventh day, Yah God ended his works which he had done, and he rested on what? The seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now the Holy Spirit helped me to understand this. And he said to me, go back to where we were, Hebrews 4:4. He said, God finished all the work here? I said, yes. And he rested, right? Yes. So God rested on the seventh day from all his work. Next part of scripture. I think the part of scripture that won't help me break it well. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Next part of scripture. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Next part of scripture. Again, he designates a certain day, saying, so why did they not enter? Because of what? Now he designates a certain day, saying, in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, remember how he said it with David, Psalms 95, right? Do not what? Harden your hearts. Next part of scripture. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not what? So he just used their experience to explain our rest. It's not the same kind of rest. Alright, the rest they have was figurative to the original rest we're supposed to receive that we have today in Christ Jesus. But see the point I wanted to make. God did everything himself. If you observe something in Hebrews 4:4, he said, even though the works were done from the foundation of the world, even though the work had been done from what? The foundation. So he wanted to bring them to something he has finished doing. Now remember, God finished on the seventh day. When he was done on the seventh day, he rested. Jesus said, it is finished.
he gave up the ghost. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He gave up the ghost. So what God wants us to do is to just enter into what has been done. And we labor to enter into the rest, not by going to die, but by speaking the word, by the Holy Spirit in us, speaking and revelational knowledge and what? Prayers. The Holy Ghost in us, revelation, all forms of prayers. We enter into the rest. That's how we labor. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Does that take away the place of prayer? Does that take away the place of studying the word? Does that take away the place of meditation? No, you must constantly fight a good fight of faith every day. Don't just think everything will change. Keep on eating food. It will show soon. It will show. Is this how you were 3 years ago? Is this how you were 5 years ago? Some of you are fatter. Some of you are not fatter, honestly. But you are not dead, so we know the food is working. And when I say some of you are fatter, the slimmer ones say, what of us? You are existing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All of a sudden, the food manifests. Have you seen fat people in our church before? Were they always fat like that? No. All of a sudden, you just see them, poof. Why is she laughing? Are you fat? Okay, maybe she thinks it's her. But I think she's not as fat like as she is right now when she came to church. I think GCMI makes people fat. That's beautiful. I remember when she came, she was quite slimmer. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. And some of you, when you came, you were fat. You are looking slim. Hallelujah to Jesus. Who again is fat in this church? Say Sarah. This is Sarah. Sarah, are you fat? Sarah is not fat. But Sarah has added, actually. No. I think Sarah has reduced. I remember when I knew her in anatomy, those earlier days. I think she was fatter that time than now. You know, there's somebody people are not mentioning. Ruth, you.
Joyce.
Hallelujah. Maybe she's watching, so I have to be very careful. You know, I used to tell her that she's the real proof of the righteous. The Bible said the righteous are flourishing like the palm tree. She's my... If I want to explain the righteous, I choose Joyce. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that as you eat every day, all of a sudden, it will start showing. Have you seen a woman who just gave birth? How they just metamorphose, poof. Some of them. That's what I'm trying to talk about. And not let me not just use them. Even you as a human being, why have you not died by now? You're eating food. So that it's very difficult for us to use that example with some of you. Like, oh, you don't even know what example, whether this example will fit it in. Like this Benjamin. What do we use for Benjamin? I saw a picture of Pastor Peter when we were in this other venue here. I was so amazed. He looked like a small pigeon. He was babbling two-step that time. He wore green native. So I saved the picture when I saw it. But look at him now. He has marriage. What made him to grow? Not spiritually. Food. What we are seeing now is a metamorphosis as a result of what? Food. That's why we'll be talking about you tomorrow. I tell you the truth. When you start laying hands, you lay hands on one person, three people, demons check out. Do you understand? I'm talking about those that will be holding their Bible every morning and evening. If you try to achieve this result in one, some people say, I want to log myself for 5 days, so that, no, just take it easy. Go three hours, 4 hours, 2 hours, an hour, grow in it. Are you listening to me? Grow. Make sure you are growing. You begin to glow all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you begin to glow. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. That's it. Say, I'm big in the name of Jesus. You know, if you observe me, the least things we talk about here are demons. I can never engage a conversation when they are talking about devils and wizards, especially these local demons in this town, in these villages, Azov spirits and the rest of them. It's an insult to discuss those demons. You know, we have people who sit there and say, our witch strong person, our witch. Hey, you want to try Kogi witch? Our village. Hey, you get a witch strong pass. Whatsoever witch. You know, during Pastor Bessie's wedding, I nearly dealt with the Igede witch. They wanted to finish my boy. He was coming to the wedding. They said his tire went out of the car. The tire was going to another destination. The car was going to. Was it a week to his wedding he got that accident?
Yes.
And when we were talking, there was a call. A day before the call wedding, he called me that he got an accident, that a dog just appeared on the road and he was trying to dodge. I said, they don't dodge dog, they don't do dodge dog on the road. Are you people hearing me? If you see dog on the road when you are driving with speed, don't dodge. Just allow the car go, boom, then continue. Just go and repair the bumper in the morning. You people are not understanding me. Okay, you think you are in a Imbo country? No. In this country, some dog are not dog. Oh. Let me talk like your mothers. They are human beings. Oh. It's true. They are human beings. White people would write, if it's in white country now, they'll write something against me that I'm talking against dog, hate speech. But no, they don't understand us. Yeah, dog. You know, I thought this thing is a joke. In Kaduna, I saw this woman turn into a cat, a black cat, in my eye. My eye, like, it's koro koro. The Lord put me in a vision, so I saw her turning into a cat. Then the Lord told me, she used to come and disturb my mom every night. My mom would be complaining of body pain. So I just saw her turning into a cat. I was praying in my room. I just stood up and opened my mother's room from the back. I entered the room, opening. She was just standing there, black cat, doing meow, meow, meow. I'm telling you the truth. As I came out, it was as if I lit electricity. I just opened. Repakatos. That time is holy tongues. We don't use to call the name of Jesus. Rabagadabaya. I just heard like fire, but ran away. I was watching. She entered her room as cat. I'm telling you the truth. It's barracks now, so you'll be seeing entering a room as cats. And I told my mom, Mama, this person is a witch. See, for Simon, why are you talking like this? Stop that thing. She discovered, you go home now, call the nephew, she will confirm it for you. She discovered later. Early in the morning, I now went to greet her because they said, and her son is my disciple. I'm training the boy in the word. You know, witches sometimes, they don't know what they put their hand into. According to what we found, that she had sacrificed her children's destiny for whatever she was pursuing. I tell you the true life story. You know, when we say this, some people now would think we know what we are saying. It's not carnally devised fables. And that boy was the only one that was seeming to. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't want to say it in a way that they'll figure out. Because I told some of them, they came to me. Sister, we don't understand. In fact, the boy came and reported the mom at the point. But that same day, I said, "Is your mom?" Sister, she's sick. She has not come out since morning. I said, "Okay, as well." So imagine you don't have spiritual advantage like that. My boy now, one day to his court wedding, you get the people say, you get the yo. Immediately he called me that be nice. These Igede people came for you. This wedding we must do it. Wear black spell, entered the court wedding. I saw his eye. I said, these people are crazy. So when I came, because I've been praying for the wedding, when I was even in Abuja, I was just speaking words in the atmosphere. So when I enter, they say, Asa, Basubezi Taya came out, it was going. I say, giddy people again. They've come. And they look innocent, like they don't know all those things. You know, we went to one of their villages, Ijila Igbilari. Where we're going, we saw Babalawo house. Then I say, if you point it, your hand will stand. Something like that. I said, if you do it like this. See, the very way, dirty place, that's where their God used to stay. Dirty environment. See, to serve juju is very spooky. It's, you know, it's like they have mentor. We should take them to a rehab. That's what is giving you sleepless nights. Somebody living in houses made... The person that they are helping was one that made the God the house. You make house for your protector. Ha! Who is protecting you? Do you understand? I read about is it Bessie that was that sat before a shrine and told the God to join him. Broke his fast there. They used to call it Mirinda, not Fanta. They kept Mirinda. And boiled them with, you know, hot boiled them with oil, with salt. Especially when the boiled them is soft. This woman will not understand this thing. You know, they used to fry egg for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You boiled them is soft. You just touch that, this yam will just cut. Then steam will be coming out. And you're fast. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? That fast used to break well. Fast that you'll be breaking and be smiling. Oh God, what a lovely fast. He said he was just peeping and they were keeping. He now came there and sat down and told the God to join him it. And when he finished, the next day he came to see what they would do. They were now happy that their God ate the food. True life story. You though go and there is a you. In fact, you go and sit on air with Elder Sorum that something is happening in your house. You don't understand why someone used to hear in the night. Ayabosi kabaragaya. How fear them? The least things we talk about are demons. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They are demons, devils. Do not exist in the realm of the spirit. Where we are. They say, somebody tie your sister and tie your sister and tie your sister. That's why they are not getting married. That's why. Jesus said, they asked Jesus, who sinned for him to be born black? Says, west of the cushion. Eyes open. He said, whatever caused this is not the point now. This has happened for the glory of God to be revealed. See, the way you pray about that situation in your family is the problem. Everything blocking my sisters, blocking my father, blocking my mother. Break. It has been broken 1,000 years ago. You just look at the situation and begin to thank God. Father, I thank you for these victories. In the name of Jesus, my sisters, they are getting married. My father is well. My mother is this. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Your request known to God in thanksgiving. That's the formula now. You make it, and listen, when you are done praying, you rest your soul. As I explain rest to you people, have peace. It's called peace beyond understanding. He said, I've given you peace, not as the world gives peace. When the world's peace is a function of it has happened, then they go and sit down. They are seeing the manifestation, like it has changed physically, then they'll go and be happy. When we are done speaking, we know that our words cannot fall to the ground. The confidence we have is in the fact that when we pray, he answers. I'm
whatever I'm doing with joy. I'm learning with confidence. Joy.
I know the glory is set before me. Say, let it happen before we are happy. No,
the confidence is this statement. Because he has said, he will bless the works of my hands. As I'm learning, I know a day will come that somebody will be needing somebody to work for them over a million, over this amount, and they'll pick me. That's why I'm preparing. There will be no day I will stand up and say, hey God, where would this thing carry me to? It will carry me somewhere. It is carrying me somewhere. I'm flying on the wings of the Spirit.
I've not arrived. That's why you don't understand. It is when you arrive, you will know you have been in the air. Who are these that fly as the birds of heaven? You know, none that it has not appeared, it will be like... But the Bible says when it appears to the children of Israel, it will be like a dream. You don't even know you're in the air till you touch that manifestation. Till it happens physically, you'll be so shocked that you have been close to the miracle. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You've been close. You understand that you actually took a flight. Because for you to get to this destination, it cannot be by Okada. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It should have been by a flight. How did I get here all of a sudden? No, I took a flight. I know for a fact that if it was bike, I would have not reached here. If it was a bus, I would have not. How did I metamorphose to this point? No, I had been on a flight all this while. Tell somebody I've been on a flight. Oh my God, I have been in the air. Who are these that fly as the birds of heaven? Who are these? Where are the ones? Oh glory, you wake up in the morning and say, I've been on a flight. In the name of Jesus, I'm waiting to happen. I've been preparing to happen. In the name, I'm happening soon. And it will be like a dream to my generation. Oh glory to God, I'm going to break the yoke of poverty in my lineage. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm building houses, not a house. I'm building houses in the name of Jesus. People will drive cars because of me. In the name of Jesus. Those that thought they will never drive this, they will drive it. Those that thought they will never own a house, they'll own it for my sake. That's how you talk. No, this is not where I will settle. No, I've entered into God's reign. He has done it. He has done it. And I will enter it. I will labor to enter it. Labor kabaya. I will labor. Oh, rikabakabasha. For the things which are not seen are more real than the things that are seen. Oh, rikabakabaya. The Bible says we wage war with the intangibles. We use the things which are not seen to bring to no effect, to non-existence, the things that are seen. How do we end poverty that is very literal to us? By speaking the things that are not seen. By speaking the word of the Lord. By speaking it enough. You know, you have impetus, holy impetus. It's called the speed of faith. Holy impetus. Wake up in the morning. In the name of Jesus, I'm happening to my generation. Ah, I'm not late, oh. I am not late. The devil will paint a picture in your mind. How can these things be? Forget about the answer. Trust not that the Lord is your father. He has always been your father. And if he's your father at the right time, he will cause it to happen to your generation. And if the Lord is your father, he will never come late. He's always on time. Because he's your father. So you will not take a thought by asking funny questions. Because he is your father. Do not take a thought by saying, how shall these things be? Know that God is your father. He is my father. He is my father. And that's why I have no doubt of tomorrow. I have no single doubt. In the name of Jesus, I pray with conviction. I obey the Lord with conviction. No single doubt. You can't tell if I am not suffering. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how you talk as a Christian. That's how you behave as a child of the Lord. Nobody should figure out you are going through a lot. You are not going through a lot. You are walking upon water. Because your eyes are set on the Lord. You are not sinking like Peter. No! Your eyes are set on Jesus. No, I can never be subjected. No. No. It's called war of faith. Good fight of faith. You are warring with wrong ideas in your heart. Wrong ideas, doubts in your heart. You are speaking the word of the Lord, bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of the Christ. And all of a sudden, all things begin to work together. Everything is conforming to the Christ. All situations are conforming to the Christ, bringing every thought captive. Barakabashia kabula dabaya. Mande kabala takabuya. Bereke potosubagani.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.